ready? Today's shiur is, I guess, an exclusive for Shlema for Baruch Tzvi ben Rivka Batya. He should have a refuah Shlema. So we know that the Torah tells us during Ma'aseh Bereishis that at the end of every single day, the Torah tells us Yom Sheni, Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi'i, Yom Chamishi. And then finally, when it gets to the sixth day, the Torah says Vayere Vayevoker Yom Hashishi, that it was the sixth day. And the question that Rashi grapples with is, why is it, unlike all the other days that tell us Sheni, Shlishi, Revi'i, Chamishi, when it comes to the sixth day, it's the sixth day. And Rashi tells us in source number 2 that Yom HaShishi, that the sixth day, Kulam Tuluyim Va'omdim, that the entire world was predicated, was dependent, Ad Yom HaShishi, until the sixth day, Hu Shishi B'Sivan. It's the sixth of Sivan. And of course we know that the sixth of Sivan was the day that Klal Yisrael got the Torah. So we see from here that the entire world was predicated upon Klal Yisrael receiving the Torah and accepting the Torah. And if not, of course we know, Shom Tehei Kfurasim, that the world would have reverted back to Tohu Vavohu, but become a desolate world. And in spite of this idea that the entire world was created for Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah, the Gemara in Source 3 tells us, in Masechet Shabbos, Peches, the Gemara tells us that Bishah Sha'olam Moshe the Marom, that the time that Moshe Rabbeinu went to the higher worlds, Amru Malachi Asharis, the Tnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachi Asharis, the celestial angels, turned to Hashem and says, Ribono Shalolam, what is it? What is this person that was born from a woman doing Beinenu among us? Amr Lehen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lekabel Torah, to accept the Torah. The Malachim turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, incredulous, and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this special treasure was hidden for 974 generations before even the creation of the world. And you want to give it to Bas of Adam, to a human? HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Moshe Rabbeinu, respond to the assertions of the Malachi Ashares. Moshe Rabbeinu, afraid nonetheless, responds and he turns to Malachim and he says, Malachim, what is written in this Torah? It says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotosicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the Malachim and says, Malachim, are you leaving Egypt? And then Moshe Rabbeinu continues and he says that the Torah says, Lo Yi Elokho Elokim Acherim, that you shall not have any other gods. Are you among the Gentile nations? Is there a concern that you will come and serve idols? Essentially what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Malachi Ashares is that Klal Yisrael has the great opportunity to come and make HaKadosh Baruch Hu Echad. Klal Yisrael has the opportunity to ensure that they're not serving idols. And while Moshe Rabbeinu was telling this to the Malachi Ashares, the reason why we, the Jewish people, have to accept the Torah is because we're not going to worship idols. And as Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that, Vayar Ha'am, in source number 4, Kibosheish Moshe, that Moshe was delayed, Loretis Minahar, from coming down the mountain, Vayikoyel Ha'am, they were congregating, Kizem Moshe Ha'ish, that this Moshe Rabbeinu, this man that took them out from Mitzrayim, Lo Yodono Meha Yalo, what had happened to them? And of course we know that Klal Yisrael was in a state of shock. They didn't know what had happened to their great leader, the greatest leader, Moshe Rabbeinu. Ultimately, they came and they built this Egel. Until finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's happening. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. While Klal Yisrael is down below the mountain, worshipping this idol, the same idols that Moshe Rabbeinu had told the Malachim that Klal Yisrael would not engage in, because it says, Lo yiyeh lecho elokim acherim al ponai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe and says, Lech Rei, go down. My Lech Rei, what does that mean, go down? Says the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Rei Migdulaska, go down from your position of prominence. The only reason why you have the position of prominence is Bishvil Yisrael. The Achshav, and now Yisrael Chatu. Now Klal Yisrael is sinning. And in source number 7, the Elam Oadi explains what this sin was, how terrible, how devastating this sin was. He writes an unbelievable mashal. He says, Chet HaEgel, the Chet HaEgel, Hayo HaChet HaChomor. It was the greatest of sins, B'yoser She'irah Bam Yisrael, that has ever happened to Klal Yisrael. Ad Kedei Kach. To the point, says Chazal, that it's explained b'mashal with an analogy, L'kala Shemizana Tachas Chupasa. That there is a kala under her chuppah, and what does she do? She snatches away another man from among the audience. V'halotir zehu nora noroz. How great is this analogy? Kasher kala nimsas tachas kupasa, that the kala is found under her chuppah. Leido achasen amyuilog, getting ready to marry this chasen that was designated for her. V'hiberega hachi gadol v'hachi me'usher shela. What an auspicious day for her and her family. And what does she do? Holeches umizana im acherim. She goes and is mizana. She takes another man. Shezu azaz metzach yotzas migeder irgil. It's something that one can't possibly fathom. That here, a kala is ready to welcome her husband, and this kala goes and is mizana with another man. And that, says Chazal, is exactly what happened with Klal Yisrael. As Moshe Rabbeinu was ready to accept this unbelievable Torah, this treasure that was hidden 974 generations before even the creation of the world. And now, as Moshe Rabbeinu is accepting this Torah, Klal Yisrael is below. They're being mizana. They're coming and taking someone else instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a chet chomer biyoser she'ira ba'am Yisrael, the greatest of all sins that perhaps Klal Yisrael has ever engaged in. And yet, however great this sin was, let us go to source number 8. The Torah tells us, as the Torah is winding down, about to end, the last few psukim in Torah's Moshe, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah that he gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah tells us that there was never anyone like Moshe Rabbeinu. And then the psukim continue, and it says that this Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that was delivering Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. Ulechol ha'osos, ulechol avodo, ulechol arzo, ulechol hayad chazaka, and with a strong hand, ulechol amora hagadol, and with great strength, asher osa Moshe, that Moshe had done le'enei kol Yisrael before the eyes of Israel. And says Rashi, what does that mean, ulechol hayad chazaka? What does that mean, a strong hand? Says Rashi, Shekibel es haTorah beLuchos biYodav, that Moshe Rabbeinu accepted the Luchos biYodav in his hand, and they were heavy. And nonetheless, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu accepted the Luchos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Har Sinai, and the Torah ends off with the words, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, before the eyes of Israel. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Shenasu Libo. Then Moshe Rabbeinu had thought about it, contemplated, and ultimately he had decided lishbor haluchos le'enayim, to break the luchos before the eyes of Klal Yisrael, as it says, v'yishabrez le'enayim, I will break it. These are the last words of the Torah, le'enay kol Yisrael. The last words of the Torah, the last words that we are reminded of Moshe Rabbeinu with are Le'enei Kol Yisrael, that he took the luchos and he smashed them. Very difficult to digest, especially since we know the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph that tells us in source number 10, V'chein lo yipoter adam mechaveiro, that the halacha is that a person does not leave his friend, lo mitoch sicha, not out of chatter, lo mitok schok, out of frivolity, but lo mitok kalis rosh, or a lightheadedness, but lo mitok dvarim betalim, not out of words that have no meaning, ela mitok dvar halacha, only out of words of halacha, words of law, or perhaps, as the Gemara continues, that one should leave his friend betok sheva betanchumim, words of comfort, and says the Gemara, because that's the way he's remembered. So my question that I'm posing right now here today, the way that Moshe Rabbeinu wants us to remember him, Toras Moshe, the greatest of all leaders that had done everything for Klal Yisrael, he wants us to remember him with the words La'enei Kol Yisrael, that he's taking the luchos and he's smashing the luchos in front of Klal Yisrael. What about the halacha of Yipater Adam, that a person only leaves his friend mitoch dvar halacha, with the words of halacha, words of encouragement, not taking luchos and smashing? It seems to be countering what the Gemara tells us is supposed to happen. Moshe Rabbeinu about to die, leaving the world forever, Toras Moshe, and he's leaving us with the words Shenasu Libo Lishbor Haluchos, that he had thought about it, contemplated it, and ultimately he determined that I'm going to come and break the luchos, that all of Klal Yisrael should see it. So I want to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu knows the halacha of Al Yipater Adam Echaver Elim Yitok Dvar halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu knows everything. So if you look at source number 11, I think this is absolutely brilliant. I want to suggest, based on a Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer tells us in source number 11 that the Luchos Rishonos is referred to as the Luchos Habris. It's the Luchos of a covenant. And once Klal Yisrael sinned with the Chet HaEgel, this terrible Chet Chamor, as we had already established, it no longer was referred to as the Luchos Habris, but rather it was now referred to as Luchos Stam. And asks the Chassam Sofer, why is that the case? And he explains brilliantly. And he says that the Luchos Habris, the Bris is Bigamatria, numerically it's Taryab. And we know that Taryab is 612. Before the Chet HaEgel, it was missing one halacha. It was when Klal Yisrael engaged in this terrible sin, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a mechila. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted that mechila, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the tshuva of Klal Yisrael. It now no longer was an inadequate luchos. It was no longer a 612. It wasn't a luchos habris. But now it was a luchos stam, it was complete. Moshe Rabbeinu leaving Klal Yisrael with the halacha of that a tzibur can come even after doing a chet chamor, can come and still be mekabel tshuva, accept tshuva upon themselves, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept it. That is, I want to suggest, based on that Chassam Sofer, that's the last halacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Moshe to teach Klal Yisrael. The Al Yipater Adam Echavera Elamitok Dvar Halacha, the last halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu is instructing Klal Yisrael is, however down and bad it gets, however much as a tzibur you have turned away from the Almighty, you still have the opportunity to accept tshuva. So we learn tshuva from the Chet HaEgel. And of course, Chazal tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael the Yud Gimel Midos. And Vayomer Hashem Solachti Kidvarecha, I accept your slicha, I forgive you based on your words. We learn this concept of tshuva from none other than Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. Now, if that's true, if that's the halacha that we learn from the Chet HaEgel, then why is it that the luchos shenios are compromised? The first luchos we know was chokuk, was engraved from the word the ksav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The luchos rishonos contained miracles. The luchos shenios were compromised. It was psol echad. Moshe Rabbeinu had to come and write it. It's the luchos rishonos that one never forgets an ounce of Torah. And it's the luchos shnios that again is compromised. If we are suggesting that we learn tshuva from the Chet HaEgel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted the kapara and accepted Klal Yisrael and their tshuva, doesn't the Rambam tell us in source number 12 Va'al yidom ha'adam v'al tshuva shehimarucha b'malas ha'tzadikim. A person shouldn't think that a bal tshuva, one that was distant, is still distant, and he's far away from the attributes of the righteous because of his sins that he had performed. Says the Rambam, Ein hadavar kein. That's not the case. Elo ohov v'nechmad. He's loved and he's beloved. Lifnei habore, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ilu lochet me'olam. And then the Rambam continues. And he says, Shescharu harbe, that his reward is great. Sharei tam tam achet, he's tasted the sin. Upiresh mimenu v'kovesh yitzro. He's conquered himself. He's conquered his Yetzirah. He's removed himself from the sin. To add even a step further, the Rambam tells us, what's a tshuva gemura? What's a complete tshuva? Ze sheba liyado davar she'avar bo, that it's possible for a person to engage in the same sin that he had already done. Ve'efshar biyado la'asos u'pireish, and he does not because of tshuva. Klal Yisrael, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain, they were there again among themselves, their lonely selves, without the great Moshe Rabbeinu. And they didn't engage in the sin. That's tshuva gemura. So if it's tshuva gemura, and a chote is able to reach the levels of the great tzaddikim, well then why is it when Moshe Rabbeinu once again received the luchos shenios, why was it compromised? Why was it not just like the Luchos Rishonos? And if they were not able to accept the tshuva and reach the same status, then how does that make us feel? Moshe Rabbeinu, the great Moshe Rabbeinu that was able to accomplish the greatest of things on behalf of his beloved people, and he's not able to ensure that they were pardoned completely, then what about us? Does that diminish tshuva? Does that mean that tshuva doesn't work? That can't possibly be. Then how do we understand Moshe Rabbeinu going to Har Sinai, Hashem saying, Vayomer Hashem, Solachti Kidvarecha, and nonetheless, we're left with a compromised luchos. There's something missing. So I want to offer three, possibly four answers to this question. The first is based on source number 13. It's based on a Kabbalah from the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon says that the Yeshnam Chatoyim Aleim Lo Ma'ila Tshuva, that there are certain sins. There are certain sins, or perhaps any sin. Yes, a sin accomplishes something. But even with a tshuva, there's still some limitations. Let me explain. Emes hadavar, it's true, ki l'kol aveira timata slicha. In every aveira, you can find a forgiveness. V'lo yitochin sheyose ha'adam tshuva v'lo tischaper katoso. And it's not possible that a person does tshuva and he's not forgiven for his sin. However, and this is based on a Kabbalah from the Gra, gam be'ofen sho'achit nimchol, even if a sin is forgiven, sar ha'avon v'nischaper ha'pesha, and the sin is removed and he has received his kapara, his atonement for all that he had done, mikol makom lo chozer bal tshuva l'malaso ha'kodemes, this bal tshuva still does not reach the level that he once had before. Ulam hagra, so we see that the gra is b'mechadesh, that there are two aspects, two distinct, different aspects when a person does a chet. One is the tumas hachet, the impurity of the sin. And the second is mailas ha'adam, is the levels of man. The tumas hachet, the impurity of the sin, efshar lenakos, is possible to wipe clean through the powers of tshuva. However, in the maila haruchonis, the level of ruchnius of spirituality, e efshar lohasig al yidei tshuva, it's impossible for a person to reach even through tshuva. So he might be clear of the tumas hachet, he might be clean. But when it comes to the mailas ha'adam, that a person can never recapture ever again. How do we understand that? I want to suggest an approach based on the words of the Gra in Maseches Avos. In source number 14, the Mishnah in Avos, the third chapter, the first halacha tells us, Akavya ben Mahalel Omer, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim, a person should look into three things, ve'en atabba lidei avera, he won't come to sin. One, me'ayin basa, know where you come, ula'an ataholei, where you're going. Ulefnei mi'ata osi litein din v'cheshben, before whom are you going to give judgment and calculation? Asks the Vilna Gaon. Why is it necessary for the Mishnah to tell us din v'cheshben? Simply tell us, know who you're going to stand before judgment. What's din v'cheshben and calculation? So the Vilna Gaon says brilliantly, and he says that there's two ideas. The din is the losaseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to stand on your day of judgment and calculate all the forbidden acts that you were not supposed to engage in. And then there's the cheshbon. The cheshbon, the calculation, is what you could have done if you were not sinning. That's the Maila Sa'adam I want to suggest. The Maila Sa'adam, yes, you might have been freed of your losaseh, of the prohibitive act that you came and did even though the Torah said not to. But you're never going to be able to recapture, to reclaim what could have been. Time you can't recapture. It's too late. There will never be a 554 in the year 2017 ever again. It doesn't exist. That's what it means, Maila Sa'adam. The ability of what could have been with this person if not for the fact that he was sinning. Klal Yisrael by the Chet HaEgel. He sinned. But during... They received a tshuva, kapara. Vayomer Hashem solachti kivarecha. The sin was forgotten. It was forgiven. But the Milas HaAdam, what they could have been doing during that time that Moshe Rabbeinu was upon that mountain, they could have used that time to develop and forge a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Make themselves people that are now shayach, that are possible to accept Torah's Hashem. That will never be able to be recaptured. So yes, it's true. It's absolutely true. The tshuva is effective. It does work. But to say that they're now going to be able to reach the Milas HaAdam, to be able to say that they're now shayach, they're possible to receive the first set of tablets, it's too late. That type of person that would have received the first set of tablets was someone that was developing themselves day in, day out while Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai. That is forever gone. Now, the type of person that is a Kli Kibul, that is able to accept a Luchos, this is a diminished people deserving of a diminished Luchos. That's my first answer. If for some reason they would have been able to work on themselves during those days, perhaps with their tshuva, they could have been able to receive the luchos rishonos. The second answer, we all know that Moshe Rabbeinu had to beg, had to plead, had to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he shouldn't destroy Klal Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, leave me that I can come and destroy the entire people. Or I'm so angry with them. I will destroy them. And I will make through you, Moshe Rabbeinu, a great nation. Klal Yisrael saw the aftermath of the chet. Klal Yisrael saw the people that were responsible for the chet ha'egel were destroyed, were killed. Klal Yisrael knew that if it was up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if not for Moshe Rabbeinu coming and begging, that they as well would have been destroyed. Klal Yisrael did not want that to happen. And therefore they accepted upon themselves a tshuva. But that tshuva was a diminished tshuva. Because there's two types of tshuva. If you look at source number 19, there's shtei bechinos b'tshuva. There's two aspects, two different types of tshuva. There's a tshuva mi'ira and a tshuva mi'ava. There's a tshuva out of fear and there's a tshuva out of love. V'hinei tshuva meira, tshuva out of fear, haba meira sa'onesh, comes out of fear of punishment. That is not a tshuva gemura. Ki yira zu ba mitzad avas atzmo. This fear is not coming out of the love of Hashem, but rather it's coming because they love themselves. The gufo, their bodies, the ba yigram rola atzmo, they don't want bad to come upon them. Masha'en kein, unlike a tshuva me'ava, a tshuva out of love haba comes to a person al yidei his bonenuso tomid biramus Hashem bigadluso. A tshuva me'ava comes to a person because he thinks and he contemplates and he ponders and he wants a meaningful relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As Rabakshi Daron said in source number 17, that there's a difference between a tshuva out of yiras hachet, a tshuva out of fear of the sin, what's going to happen, versus a tshuva out of yiras haromamus, out of fear because I see the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That type of fear, a tshuva miyiras haromamus, is really a tshuva mi'ava. It's a tshuva out of love. As Rabbi Soloveitchik says in source number 18, that is referred to as a tshuva shel bechira chofshis. It's a tshuva of choice. Not because I'm compelled, not because I'm forced, not because I'm afraid, but rather it's because I understand that I'm lacking without this meaningful, deep, profound relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was lacking with the Luchos Shenios in the aftermath of the Cheto Egel. Their tshuva was not a tshuva gemura. What we had thought was a tshuva gemura because they were in the same environment, the same situation. That's the Hava Amina. That's what I would have thought. But the maskana, the conclusion, it wasn't a tshuva gemura. Because a tshuva gemura would have been a tshuva mi'ava. So what's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference between the first answer that we gave and the second answer that we gave? Well, very simply, according to the first answer, it was a tshuva gemura. It was a totally complete tshuva. It might have even been a tshuva mi'ava. But even a tshuva mi'ava is not able to contend with the Milas Ha'adam. That can never be accomplished ever again. According to our second Teretz, the second Teretz says there was something felt, there was something missing from even the tshuva. It was a tshuva of yiras hachet, yiras ha'onesh, not yiras ha'romamus. It wasn't a tshuva mi'ava. And therefore, Klal Yisrael had a compromised tshuva, therefore it's a compromised luchos, not able to accept and receive the Luchos Rishonos, but only able to accept the Luchos Shenios. Now let's hear the last one. According to our original question, we assume that the Luchos Rishonos is better. After all, Luchos Rishonos was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Luchos Shenios was written by Moshe. Luchos Rishonos, man learnt it once and never forgot it. Luchos Shenios, a person has to constantly learn or else he will forget it. Which one's better, Luchos Rishonos or Shenios? So one would have thought Luchos Rishonos. However, it's not true. Luchos Shenios is better. Because Luchos Shenios, a person has to work and toil. I want to share with you words of the Sukkas David that you don't have in your source sheets. The Luchos Rishonim Shenisnu Lanu B'matana. The Luchos Rishonos were given to Am Yisrael as a matana min Hashemayim. And this, says the Sukkas David, is tantamount, is equivalent to the Torah that is learned b'mei imo, in the womb of his mother. It's that Torah that a child learns in the womb of his mother that is the kol Torah kula. It's the entire Torah. But there is no amelus. There is no yegiah. There is no work. He comes to this world and it's all forgotten. And it's only through toil. It's only through Amel. It's only through Yigia, through rolling up one's sleeves and understanding that if I want to accomplish, I have to toil. That's how we can come and accomplish with the Luchos Shenios. So our Havamina was that the Luchos Rishonos is a better, is a more quality. It's not true. Because the Gemara tells us, Adam Rotza Kav Shalom Mitisha Kavin Shal Chavero. A person would rather have one of his own than none of someone else's. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Luchos. That was given to Am Yisrael as a Matana. That is not ours. The Luchos Shenios is ours. It's our Torah. I have a great schus to learn with each and every one of my children. And when I tell my children, as we're sitting and we're rolling up our sleeves and we're learning, I always tell them, the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have ever given to you is that you have to work for it. You have to toil. You have to have arvanya. It has to be real. It's not a matana, it's not a gift. And that's the Luchos Shenios. The Luchos Rishonos is not real. It's not real life. It's like the Malach Hashem giving this child Kola Torah Kula on the womb of his mother. But real life is work, is toil. It means something. It matters. And that could only be accomplished with the Luchos Shenios. And that's the Torah. That's Kosva Maluach Libecha. That's written on our hearts. It penetrates our very essence. It changes who we are as people. That is only accomplished through the Luchos Shenios and not the Luchos Rishonos. And Shiri Rabbi Shmuel, he says beautifully, he says, the Luchos Rishonos hoyu Yisrael b'matzav shel his'alus v'hisromus shalei kol Yisrael hayamuch in the Kabbal Torah. However, the Luchos Shenios, the Luchos Shenios is the Luchos that are written, that are psolucha. Sha'adam posel b'yegiyah, a person carves out with toil. V'chosev Luchos libo ayde omel, it becomes part of who he is, his essence, through toil. Kone b'zeh kinyan olam. This is acquired, it's a kinyan olam. It's forever ve'eno nishbar, unlike the Luchos Rishonos that were broken. The Luchos Shenios can never be broken because we've accomplished it through our toil, through our amelus. Powerful idea. Powerful. If we want to become great in learning, if we want to become Talmidei Chachamim, it's only going to happen, can only be accomplished through our amelus, our toil in the Luchos Shenios. And now I just want to end off with one last question. We read the Rashi that quoted the Gemara Masechet Shabbos. That Moshe Rabbeinu, he broke the Luchos. Came down the mountain, he saw what had happened. The Klal Yisrael was engaged in this terrible atrocity of being mizanet, tachas kupasa. And says Rashi, quoting the Gemara, v'hiskima das HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'daito, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to Moshe Rabbeinu taking the Luchos and breaking them. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu agree to that? In other words, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I remember there was one time that I was playing basketball in our living room, and the basketball got away from me. I guess that was the time that I realized it wasn't meant to be. As a basketball player, that is. I remember I smashed this beautiful vase, and I think that my mother is watching this right now. So, Mom, please forgive me, but my mother was incredulous. I mean, she was very, very upset with me. In other words, like, here's this vase and you're playing basketball in the house. There's so many things that are wrong about that. I mean, it could have taken days to get over that. And now we're talking about the Luchos Rishonos, and Moshe Rabbeinu takes the Luchos, smashes them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says that he's maskim, that I agree with what you did. Yashar koach sheshibarta. Great job, Moshe Rabbeinu. How do we understand that? How do we digest this dialogue, this action of Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Moshe Rabbeinu taking the luchos and smashing them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite wisdom, was able to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu's thoughts were. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bochein Levavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to understand and internalize and be in sync with Moshe Rabbeinu's thought process. Let me explain. Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. In addition to the Chet HaEgel, there were two other calamitous averos that had befallen Klal Yisrael. One of them was the chait of the Meraglim, was the sin of the spies. How could the Nisi Ha'eda, the princes of Klal Yisrael, come and speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? So Rechaim Shmuel Levitz, quoting the Mesilas Yesharim, explains that you know why they came and spoke Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael? It's because these great people thought that when they were going to go into Eretz Yisrael, they would lose their positions of prominence. They would no longer be the tribal leaders. They wouldn't be the princes of Klal Yisrael. They would no longer be in those positions of prominence. And therefore, they didn't want to go into the land. And therefore, they came back and they told the nation, you don't want to go into this land. They didn't really care about Am Yisrael. They really knew that when they went into the land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to be able to destroy all the enemies that inhabited the land. But they had their agendas. They didn't want to go because they still wanted to be the Nisi HaEda. And then you go to the chait of Korach v'chol Adaso. And Korach announces, Kulam Kidoshim, Madua Tisnasu al-Kahal Hashem. We're all holy. Why is it that you are only giving the positions of prominence of leadership to your family? We're all holy. We all were there at Mount Sinai. Now, of course, we know what was really going on with Korach. Did he care about anybody else? He cared about himself. He had an agenda. He wanted to be a leader. He felt that he was deserving to be accompanying or alongside Moshe Rabbeinu. He was passed over. He wasn't given that position. And therefore, Kulam Kidoshim, he makes this proclamation, Madua Tisnasu Al-Kahal Hashem. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu's response to both of these terrible atrocities, these terrible acts, to these terrible pronouncements, was Vayipol Al-Panav. He was disgusted. He was embarrassed. How could these people act in such an egregious way? To come and openly defile the words of Hashem. Now imagine for a moment, if Moshe Rabbeinu did not break those luchos, if he would have come and responded and said, what are you guys doing? They would have turned to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, really? You're a hypocrite. Really, you really are telling us that stop having agendas? What about you when Klal Yisrael was engaged in the Chet HaEgel and you came down with those luchos? Why didn't you break them? They weren't deserving of them. Why didn't you break them? Is it possible you didn't break them? And I'm quoting from a Sefer Torah HaMusar. Is it possible you didn't break them? Because the Nafsho Shel Moshe Keshura Beluchos. Maybe that Moshe was so connected to the luchos that he accepted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was a limited edition. Omo v'yegia rav, through great toil and great work and diligence, kedei lahasigam, I worked in order to accomplish this. Arboim yom v'arboim laila lechem v'lachalti yamayim lo shasisi. And therefore, I don't want to break them because I've connected. They're mine. I don't want to break them. Should I have broken them? Yes. But I don't want to break them because I worked hard for them. If Moshe Rabbeinu did not break those luchos, Korach would have said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to fall on your face. Why didn't you drop the luchos? You really are concerned with emes. You're really concerned with being an Eved Hashem. Why didn't you break the luchos? The Nasi HaEda turned to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, really? You're gonna tell us that we're wrong, that we're not thinking about the betterment of Klal Yisrael. Were you thinking about the betterment of Klal Yisrael when you came down? You saw that they were dancing around this idol. Did you break the luchos? You didn't, because they were yours. They were your hard work, a limited edition. I don't want to give this up. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, I know what you were thinking. Yashar Koach Sheshibarta, Yashar Koach, that you broke them. Because now, since you broke them, and there are going to be times that there are going to be people that are sinning because of their own agendas, you're going to be able to give them Musar. That's the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what we end the Torah with. That if you want to be an Eved Hashem, if you want to be a servant of God, you can't have any agendas. It can't be for your own betterment. It can't be because it's my Torah. It has to be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It has to be L'Shem Shemayim. A servant doesn't have his own das. A servant in Eved Hashem is one that does what is best. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stamp of approval, Yashar Koach Sheshibarta, or Yashar Koach for all that we do. But it can only happen if we're acting L'Shem Shemayim. I want to end off. There was once a man, and he was a pauper. He was a poor man. He was davening in shul. He comes out. He didn't have anything to eat, nothing to drink. And he sees there are a bunch of men that are playing cards outside of shul. Cards, you know what it is, cards, and there's money in the middle. And he turns to these people and he says, what are you guys doing? What are you wasting your time for? You should be in shul davening. You should be learning. What are you wasting your time doing this? They turn to this man. They say, you know what, you're right. And we're so appreciative for this musser. We're going to give you all the money in the middle, it's yours. This man couldn't believe it. He went home, he put it aside, he didn't really want to use it. But you know what? Things were tough, things were tight. So what does he do? He uses the money, spends the money, he's finished. And now he's back to being poor. He doesn't know what to do, he doesn't know where he's going to get his money. He goes back to the same shul. He comes outside of shul, he's like, you know what? They're playing cards again. This is perfect. They're playing cards. I'm going to tell them that what they're doing is wrong. I'm going to tell them they have to go back to shul, and they're going to give me the money. Go outside, sees they're playing. Money, cards, same people. He says, guys, what are you doing? They hear what he has to say, and they take him, and they beat him up. Beat me up. He goes to the Ben Ish Chai, and he says, Rebbe, I don't understand. What happened? The first time I told them, not only did they accept the Musar, they gave me their money. The second time I told them, they didn't give me anything, and they beat me up. What's the difference? The Ben Ish Chai says, the difference is that the first time when you told it to them, you were sincere. You truly were interested in what was best for them. You care about them. They're Avodas Hashem. The second time, you didn't care about them. You care about yourself. That's not an Eved Hashem. They were able to appreciate that. And if these Oizvarfs are able to appreciate that, how much more so does HaKadosh Baruch Hu know the Bochein Levavos? How much more so does HaKadosh Baruch Hu know when we're sincere and when we're not? Let us focus on our sincerity. Let us be Ovdei Hashem. Let us serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not our own interests, but the interests of Hashem, in Mekadei Shem Shemayim. We should be zochet to be written in the Sefer HaChaim.